Let us pray. Father, as we ponder your word today, help us to appreciate the work and fruit of your Spirit in our lives. Help us to understand how we can walk with him. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'll share with you, as Andrew was sharing his wonderful children's talk, and Tanya and Brian gave their witnesses, I thought, that's half my talk. I was pressing the delete buttons mentally in my mind because I'm thinking that's been covered, however. Have you ever been involved in a tug of war? Sometimes I remember as a child at picnics, sometimes there'd be a tug of war, you know, with a rope, and there'd be two factions and they'd be pulling backwards and forwards, and generally at the day that there's a winner. Well, we are winners. And the struggle that we're in was mentioned this morning about the power of the flesh, our carnal nature, and the spirit. But in today's gospel, the Apostle Paul gives the Galatians a command. I don't know whether you heard it. He said, and the command was, live by the Spirit, or walk in the Spirit. Now, it was an imperative mode of speech. He didn't say you can do it, you might like to do it. He said, live in the Spirit. And that's followed by, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So we're commanded to do something, and if we do that, we'll not carry out the desires of the flesh. So Paul is telling the Galatians about their behaviour and attitude and lifestyle. The Galatians at that time, the church was, there were troublemakers in the church, and the behaviour was not all as is desired. So we need to listen to these commandments, this command as well. And as redeemed children of God, there's a certain way that we should live. And if we do, we will exhibit particular behaviour or virtues or fruit that reflects Christ. So what do we mean by living in the Spirit? And what does the flesh mean? They were mentioned in the reading of Galatians this morning. Because they are contrary to one another, a bit like that tussle. And the rope is our behaviour. So these two notions of the Spirit and what the flesh does, they're contrary to one another, and they're in conflict with one another, as was stated in verse 17. So Paul lists the behaviours of the flesh, or our sinful nature, and they were mentioned this morning. Immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envies, drunkenness of orgies, and he says, and the like in verse 19. Meaning there's more. He doesn't list them all, but there are more behaviours that are unacceptable. So the list is not exhaustive. And Paul tells us that these behaviours are open opposition to God, and they're willful sins. We have choice whether or not we do them. There's a freedom to do them by choice if we want to. But we have the power of the Spirit to overcome that. And if we indulge ourselves with these behaviours, the consequence is we will damage our relationship not only with God, but with other people. Now, unfortunately, These are often behaviours and attitudes that we often see in contemporary society today around us. A society which really has become ever more tolerant of accepting these behaviours towards others that lack respect and consideration of others. Now, Greg Sheridan, the very noted journalist of a national newspaper, just recently wrote that Christianity is the most persecuted religion in the world. I don't know whether you read that article, it was most interesting. Consequently, Christian ethics and the fruits of the Spirit are often rejected and devalued. We desire, as redeemed Christians, a life empowered by the Spirit, because that's what the Spirit does. He empowers us. So living in the Spirit means A, that you're aware of the influence of the Spirit in your daily life. B, and as a child of God, you'll want to shape your life around the leadership of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit reflects a renewed person in us. So you might ask, how do we know the Spirit's direction? If he's leading, how do we know where he's leading us to? Or how do we walk with the Spirit? Well, A, we listen to the Spirit. We do it with our heart, with our ears, with our eyes, with our senses. We have open hearts to the Spirit. We pray. And finally, and importantly, there's an instruction manual. The Holy Scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So this conjures up a vision of illumination and direction. So somebody who walks with, step by step, and is led by the Spirit patterns his or her life around Jesus Christ. It's a way of faith. So the opposite of that is going back to those notions of giving in to carnal desires that are really second nature to us as human beings. Verse 21 in Galatians mentions that. The Holy Spirit produces wonderful gifts, and it was read this morning by Lois. And they're known as the fruit of the Spirit. And they require daily application in our life. Now, you'll notice it says the fruit of the Spirit, because a fruit is a collective term. Just as one say you're not going to the fruit shop, you say you're going to the fruit shop. It's a collective term. So the fruit of the Spirit encompasses a number of fruits. And it's important to note that fruit encourage not only isolated acts, not a bit of kindness here and a bit of consideration there, it's a collective. So it's a way of life. It's a godly manner of life that we must display or will display before and with others. And that life that we display will be as a result of being under the influence of the Spirit. So our Christian ambition in life is to serve one another in love, that was in verse 14, and to live a way that A, honours our Saviour, and B, expresses our gratitude to God, and C, shows love to our neighbours. It's interesting to note that the fruit also gives us an insight into the very life of God. If we examine any one of the fruit, we learn something about God's interior life, about an attribute of God. For example, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, the author says, God is love. When we truly love one another, we are doing what God does. And it's our desires to reflect the attributes of God, and the fruits empower us to do that. So what are the fruit of the Spirit? There are 9 attributes that Lois read them this morning, or characteristics of the fruit, and they're a product of a tree that they grow from, in this case, Jesus. You'll remember the verse in 1 John 4:8, "He is the vine and we are the branches." So close is that relationship. And on the branches, the fruit are produced, so we are to be productive and reflect God. The Holy Spirit gives us fruit that emulates and reflects God. As I said before, the sins of the flesh, it was not an exhaustive list, and neither are the fruit of the Spirit. We are listed with 9 characteristics, but there are indeed more, and on reflection, you can contemplate what they are. So this list of spiritual fruits is not intended to regulate our Christian behaviour by rules of conduct. Rather, they are pointers or indicators. And this is what we will reflect when we walk with the Spirit. So number one, love. Love is listed first because all of the other fruits are based within it. Love, one cannot be peaceful or long-suffering or have kindness unless there is love present. It is the essential ingredient. And love captures the essence of God as seen in his relationship to us and his people. For Paul, this love has been expressed most powerfully in God sending his Son and in the Son's death on the cross. God's love is full of forbearance and kindness towards his people. You'll remember in Romans 13:10, love does not do harm to a neighbour. Colossians 3:14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. The second attribute is joy. Joy is the feeling of complete satisfaction and goodness, and it's a byproduct of our relationship with God. And importantly, Paul goes on really to intimate that joy is to be felt, especially be felt in the company of the church. When we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, there is a perceptible joy there, and that characterises a Christian community. Number 3, peace. And it literally means calmness and tranquility of peace and mind. And true peace can only come from a relationship with God. And the final blessing each week we hear from Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Number 4, long suffering. And this fruit is a characteristic of God. It's the ability to undergo trials and tribulations and suffering without wavering from faithfulness. It enables one to endure hardship. And we all, at some stage in life, have a hardship to endure. But God will bring a peace and a trust to those situations. Number 5, kindness. So while long-suffering was a passive attribute, being patient is an active seeking for the best for everyone, even for your enemies. Number six, goodness. And that's a general right living, good citizenship, good neighbour kind of attitude. And it encompasses truth and righteousness. We're nearly at the end. Number seven, faithfulness. And this is fidelity. The characteristic of being able to be relied upon and trusted. How often do we say in our journey to each other and in prayer, God is faithful. We know that God will always be by our side. We never doubt that. So, and faithfulness is something that all Christians should strive for. Gentleness. Another word for this could be meekness or humility. It would seem, I think, in contemporary society, gentleness is sort of an old-fashioned word in some ways, isn't it? Gentleness. It shows a real humbleness. And finally, self-control. And verse 23 self-control is about mastering one's desires and passions and overindulgence. I have a problem with that with shoes, so my husband tells me. So Paul finishes in verse 23, these attributes, against such things there is no law. They're not forbidden. Even under the old law, they were not forbidden. So the Spirit bears fruit in our individual lives by these attributes towards each other, the way God is towards us. When we live lives that display the fruit of the Spirit, we not only give glory to God, but we please Him. So in summary, we've been given a gift by Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit, who comes bearing fruit attributes which influence our daily life. Having these fruit empowers us to win battle over afflictions or actions that separate us from God. And that is God's promise. So, some questions. Are we listening to the Spirit in our daily lives? Do we take time to listen? And when we listen, do we act with sensitivity towards others in which we are bearing and displaying the fruit of the Spirit? Do we need to cultivate one of these attributes more than another? What are our deficits? How often do we succumb to our carnal nature? These are questions that only you individually can answer and pray about and bring to God. So let us pray. Holy Spirit, come in and direct every part of our lives. May my life be empowered by you so that I may reflect Christ by my behaviours and actions to others. May the gift of love underpin all my actions, and may I live and be led daily by you. I surrender all of me to you. Amen.